right, so Fedora in our cloud. So what is a cloud? In my case, when we're talking about cloud, we're just talking about an abstraction layer between virtual CPUs and storage. It's not like silly clustering stuff. It's not grid computing. It's not whatever bullshit you've read. And I'm not going to really refer to the cloud after this point. It's just the cloud is what we, our infrastructure team, is going to be managing. As far as you're concerned, you just get a login with your host. The primary virtualization technology that we're going to be using is KVM, and the management layer of the whole thing is over. Who can use it, and what is it going to be used for? So the cloud, when we get it up and going, we are at the hardware delivered but not installed stage. It's going to be used for anybody, any Fedora contributors. So you go in, you'll sign up, you'll see your group, you'll log in, you'll say, hey, I want to be part of this, and you'll get a shell account on your host with root access, and from that point on you are in charge of that host. You need to update it and do whatever you need to do with it, including, you know, delegating access to the people, whatever you need to do. We are working, I guess it's done, just not tested, we have a way for third parties to actually plug into our account system so that you can easily allow other Fedora groups to log in. If you were going to be working on something with the proven packagers, you could very trivially allow all the proven packagers to log in and securely. The typical uses that we've envisioned for this are around Fedora testing, creating proof concepts. A lot of people come to us to do that. We're starting to get better about having resources for that, but this will make that even better. You can create cluster environments in this if you want, but that's to be managed by you. We can give you shared storage. You need to create a GFS cluster, whatever. And then just general hosting. One thing I want to point out with this is that we have no current plans to extend this beyond this trial. And I'll explain a little bit more about what we're doing with that in a couple slides. But you will be seeing me refer to this as non-production stuff throughout this slide and when it goes, and when the cloud gets released and is available. How does this fit into our Fedora ecosystem? So for those of you on the infrastructure team, if you follow it, we have a lot of different environments that we control. This is going to fit into the value-added environment, which is the same place that Fedora hosted sits. And as such, it's not going to run under the same rules. It's not in our Fedora's critical path. And that is another reason why we're not putting production stuff on there, so that when
things break.
Well, not necessarily when things break, but when we are doing releases, we have freezes in infrastructure, and that won't affect us, because it is not going to be on a critical path. That's by design. Unlike most of our, for those of you that are close with infrastructure, this will make sense. For those who aren't, it might not. But Fedora, Red Hat gives me a budget now to spend on Fedora when we need new servers and things like that. And that's typically money that I get to choose what we do with it. This is a little bit different. We've partnered with people in the past, but not so much with, not so much on this scale before. Red Hat has specifically purchased this code, or this the hardware and everything that's going on with it. And as such, they there will be times where they will want to do very specific things with it. The infrastructure team, for infrastructure, is going to run it, but Red Hat, we'll be using some of those guests for very specific purposes. And a lot of the questions came about whether or not that was sacrificing freedoms and things like that. And since the infrastructure team is not going to be managing or doing any work with that, we're just maintaining the cloud. And since this was an opportunity for us to get a bunch of free guests out of it, I thought that it seemed perfectly fine to me. And people have a problem with it, can just not work on this project that I want to do. And one of the question that becomes, well, why is Red Hat doing this at all? And from what I gather, one of the biggest benefits to them is Overt. Can you quick show of hands of who has looked at the Overt website or installed Overt?
I tried to.
Who has never used Overt and never heard of it? So two of you have your laptops open. You can go to overt.org, and it's got all the stuff that you need there. For those of you that have used and installed Overt, go ahead and raise your hands again. And go ahead and put your hands down if you thought that it was a smooth and easy installation and use.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but yeah, it's terrible. It is really rough right now, but it's barely even an alpha, so that's completely to be expected. I think the project is being displayed properly. Unlike some projects that would start in Red Hat closed source and move into open source, this has been done completely in open, pretty much from the beginning, so we get to see the guts of it from the start. And one of the big things that Red Hat is doing with me on this is I'm working as a consumer on this, and I don't necessarily get to boss that team around, but I get to bring up any of the bumps that I run into. And we think that this will be a really good way to harden over and do it very quickly, because we will have an open running environment. We will have load on the environment, which is you guys, and we can manage and figure out how to do things and fix things very quickly before this becomes an actual release package for everybody. And that's another reason why it's not going to be a production level system. And that's because one of the big things is to harden over and its interactions with all this. There will be use cases outside of Fedora.
Yeah. What's the backend storage?
I have multiple slides on that, and it will make you crack your pants because it's awful. But you'll understand why when I get to it.
Okay.
So there will be uses outside of Fedora on this. Like I said, you know, Red Hat is paying for this, and we get a lot of use out of it. But I'm sure that they will be running very specific tests, and you know, we will be creating guests for them and doing what they need.
About how many boxes are you talking about?
They'll be on there too. So. And that's actually, I think, coming up next or right after. So here's a basic overview. There is one definite first iteration of this and then a tentatively planned second iteration of this. What we've purchased now and has arrived, with the exception of one of the 3650s, anybody work at CDW? All right, well, one of them has not arrived yet. It's been like a month, but that's not a big deal. So for the actual commodity computing, one of the requirements of this that Red Hat gave us was to use only commodity hardware from start to finish. And that's why the storage gets a little scary, but I'll explain that. Basically, we've got five 3350s with a total of 80 gigs of RAM. It's basically 16 gig per box, expandable to 32 if we need to. Each of the boxes has, for the purposes of visualization, no hard drives in it. And they've got two quad-core processors and an expanded NIC card, so we've got expanded NIC, we've got six total ports that we can use on this. What's that?
I mean, is it commodity? Is it just white box vendors or something?
It's an IBM 3550.
Gotcha.
I think those are machine type.
Yeah.
98, 97, maybe. And same thing with our storage. The storage boxes are 2U boxes. The 3550s are 1U, 3650s are 2U. Same type setup. We don't have as much RAM in there. I think we've only got 12 gig in those. We might have put 16 in those. And then they've got 4 terabytes of usable storage. We've got 6 drives in there. We're going to do 1 terabyte drives in each. We're going to do RAID 6 across them.
How are you doing the RAID across the...
I'll get to that part. That part I get to use the boards
That's
for.
That's where the scariness starts.
Yeah, so you can start seeing where this is going. One of the whole focuses on this stuff is self-management. So I'm not sure if it'll be ready when we first drive this, but let's say Ricky has space on this. Like, our focus is not going to be so much around giving him a host, but more around giving him RAM, disk space, and CPUs, and he can do with them as he will. And if he wants to reboot it and install Windows or something, like, he should be able to do that, as far as I know. Using hardware virtualization should work. But me, as a person running this cloud, I don't know what they're doing, I don't care what they're doing, it's just load. It's just workload. So the focus for us is going to be on self-management. It's a philosophy in Fedora that we use all the time. We use it with the Fedora account system. We create a group. We put an admin of that group, and that's typically the last time we talk to that group. They do all the management of it. We do the same thing on the resource side. Some people may come up to us and say, I have this project that I want to work on. We'll need, you know, 16 guests and this much amount of memory. We can give them that, and after that, like, they may want to create, you know, 5 guests for all that, share storage, make a GFS cluster, do whatever they need to do. And to us, it's just load. So it works out pretty well. Storage. So the abstract, to make this not as scary, it's just a nice fuzzy shirt. That's what I'm creating at the end of this. We're using two servers for backup and redundancy, and it's not highly available yet. And I'll be drawing out exactly how this works on the next slide. This will give us about 4 terabytes of usable space. Like I said, we've got 6 drives, each 1 terabyte apiece, and we've got 2 of those servers. So we've technically got 12 terabytes of data, but we're only going to be using 4 of it. The rest of it is built-in redundancy. And it'll initially be divided up using LVM. Why have we done this? Number one, it's cheap. But number two, it's cheap because it's commodity hardware. So, and I do have something to write on, so I can do this part.
Why don't you use DFVD to make it unavailable?
You can't do that with DRDB, actually. Across two, let me show you how this goes.
Well, it cannot scale out beyond 2 machines.
Yeah, you can do 2 machines.
Correct.
You can do 2 as long as you have 2, but if you want to put in a third.
So take a look at our, this was, we'll do server 1, 2U server, it's got storage on it, and it's a RAID 6 array. It's got an LVM on it, so it's, most of it is going to be given to an LVM snap, or LVM, the other ones get put into snapshots. This LVM is going to get exported as an ISCO to share. We have our second server, server 2. It's got a RAID 6 array on it. It has LVM. And it's doing snapshots. And it is not being exported as an iSCSI share. On this box, we'll call this one our backup box, the first one we made. It is actually mounting this iSCSI share to this box, and it will get mounted to SD, we'll just say SDA. This iSCSI share is mounted SDA to here. This LVM gets coupled with this SDA to create an MD0 of RAID 1, which gets exported to our nodes, and that's what they use is our software RAID array. Now, we looked at a lot of different ways to do this, including having each node mount that LVM share individually. The problem with this, and I talked with Red Hat's storage guys, the way that this is set up now, you can either do HA or you can do redundancy, but you can't do both. So we had to make the decision, and that sounds kind of funny because my definition of HA is no single point of failure, and you can kind of get that, but it doesn't quite work right. And even if you're using Heartbeat, you are messing up your file system, and you will end up with panics on the nodes, as I found out.
So wouldn't GFS be a solution to this?
If we wanted to store the remote images as files on a GFS cluster, we could have done that, but there's currently no support for that in Ober. And the big thing that we were trying to do was, remember, it's just an iSCSI share. So at the end of the day, the node see it as iSCSI.
There's going to be a LUN per guest
no.
per storage pool.
It's going to be an iSCSI share that gets mounted on each box, and basically the poor man's CLVM between them.
Okay. What about, like, you know, like even like GFS, if you had 2 nodes and you just export it out the file system?
Ober can't mount local storage. Cannot use
Ober can mount local storage. What's your question?
That's a shortcoming. You know, if you just export it out from GFS, and the GFS thing.
You can't really export out from GFS. You're either in the GFS cluster or you're not.
But you can export it out as iSCSI.
Export what out as
iSCSI? You copy iSCSI into GFS. You could create an image file then on GFS and
GFS has
this doesn't get you any advantage. I still don't understand why you're not using DRVD for that, because would you if you strain this mirroring.
DRDB in that place plays the exact same role as software array does.
Well, but it is designed for this use case, but software array does not.
With the exception of, so the snapshots are important to me, right? We need to have an LVM piece there, right?
Yeah.
And the snapshots need to be independent of each other. Because if I wipe this disk and the snapshots are created only in one spot and replicated, then the broken snapshots get replicated and we've lost the data. It's not a backup.
I think you should pose that problem to the DRBD guys and ask them if they have a better solution. Because this is scary because MD has no idea about the...
Oh, I'm sorry, we're using a slow write on this too, by the way.
It's a remote connection, right?
You can't do with this setup, at least according to the Red Hat support and my experience with it, you cannot do HA and redundancy with this. And this is why people pay big money for it. There's currently no software.
Well, that's exactly what DRDB provides you.
No, that's DRDB is, I mean,
DRDB is a block level synchronization over here.
Just like software RAID isn't. So I could replace this. No, I could
hold
replace.
Hold on.
I could replace this with DRDB, but I get the same thing, right? It's still the same.
Entirely because you did not have to publish one of the LVMs over ICE because you put the other node to mount.
I have to. So instead of exposing it via ICE because for the I expose it via DRDB. So
yeah, but
now instead of having to have expertise in just ICE SCSI, I have to have expertise in DRDB and ICE SCSI.
But you have using MD.
And no,
it's not designed for this.
It is designed for this. Look at the slow write. Like it is designed to have remote file shares. Look at MDADM. It has designs for that in it. I mean, I could use DRDB, it would work, but I don't use DRDB anywhere else.
So is this
I use iSCSI all over the place.
Is this working?
Yeah, I've got it in my lab. It works fine.
Well then.
Yeah, that's your setup. I've got it in my lab.
But you don't have high availability, which you
would. You wouldn't have that with DRDB either. A cache.
DRDB would be an aid to sync to file systems, but would not move the notes from one iSCSI server to another
You need to cluster your iSCSI daemon on top.
Right.
Exactly. And that's actually the piece of this that's missing. Because even in that setup and this setup, there is write level cache, and there are a few things that just aren't quite in place that would need to be. And it's actually something those storage guys are working on, from what I understand. Because if you could get that sync to work and you could get a heartbeat between this or between DRDB, then this does become highly available. And the problem is, and this is the problem I ran into in the lab, is the nodes that mount this storage, and I'm totally expecting to spend most of my time on this because it's weird. The actual nodes that are mounting this file system over LVM, if they have just written something, suddenly that storage goes down. iSCSI will wait to timeout, but it'll reconnect to the other storage. Depending on what that first one, depending on what was written that first time, is now what's on the second time, suddenly the file system freaks out. And especially on non-Linux operating systems, it really hated it. It just, the problem was in cache. And if you disable that cache, it gets horribly slow. So, I mean, they're both, I mean, this is definitely suboptimum. What I'm hoping to do with iteration 2 of this is consider trays, consider just a hardware tray, commodity hardware, because when we were initially doing this, that wasn't considered commodity, but it's just a tray. And you connect, instead of having two storage devices, you have just the one storage device, and then have some backup solution with it.
Because,
I mean, that's really
more expensive.
Yeah, it gets a little bit more expensive, but like I can't imagine a scenario where someone seriously considering deploying over would actually use this. You know what I mean?
We are working on a DM replicator, but that's basically the same thing. Same thing as DRBD, just integrate into DM stack.
Yeah.
And I've seen that in production many times.
One thing I would like to do, and I've heard that some of the other guys I've talked to with this, and this is what you said earlier, is exposing the iSCSI, having each guest mount iSCSI directly instead of via the LVM that the nodes are going to see.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen from the hardware vendors, that is their preferred method. But that is not something we do in Fedora currently, because that is that's a pain in the butt to manage.
It's a nightmare is what it is.
But Overt is a management oversight, right? So if that could be built into Overt, that problem kind of goes away. That also makes things cleaner for your schedulers. Like, that actually does solve a lot of problems. But Overt isn't there yet, and I don't know when they will be.
It's going to be a little longer. As soon as they get the fiber channel support.
Would it be feasible to have both of the storage nodes export their LDMs, iSCSI, and have the nodes mount those iSCSI in RAID 1?
Yes, and now this was actually a very interesting setup, and it worked. That was how I originally had it, was both of these LVMs got mounted on the node, and it controlled the software, the MDADM stuff. And it worked great until I created a second node and took down one of the disks. Because when I brought it back, they both tried to rebuild it, and it corrupted everything on the disk. So that's why it had to be done. That's why it has to be done just in one place on one of those nodes. So it's not particularly good, but so basically, all this, like I said, all it does is produce an iSCSI share, and that iSCSI share gets mounted on all of our nodes. So I'm interested in talking about the storage stuff, but that's not really the point of this, because I'm hoping it will go away soon. And ideally, like I said, I'm hoping to get a tray between these two with magic storage between them.
What connection are you putting between the two nodes?
Was it? They will have
Giga or?
It's it will be gigabit. I think one of the NICs supports 10 gigabit on each of those, and we may do a crossover between them. Actually, two crossovers between them. But I'll have to double check when the other box comes in, because that's one of our missing boxes right now. So I'm gonna go ahead and go forward. Like I said, scary, but it's really just an iSCSI share, and we can at least think of it like that for the rest of this. One of the other things that I've been doing a lot of work with is failure situations, and you might have seen this on my blogs if you pay attention to the Fedora Planet at all. One of the things that I've done, both with just doing installs or high load, database type work, when that backend storage comes out from the network, iSCSI is quite a bit more robust than it was when I first started. And if you have it properly tuned, it can recover gracefully from most of the failures that I've been able to produce. And some of them have been awful. But there's a time consumption there. The tunables that I will be able to work with as an administrator of this cloud are on the nodes, right? The 3500 is where the actual computing happens. What happens on the actual guests is completely out of my hands. So if Ricky's guest drops out and suddenly can't write to its storage, it'd be just like if you yanked the disk out of your drive. That's where the pause comes in. This is one of the first features that I've requested out of the Overt guys, is an immediate pause to all of the guests. Because if you can pause that on those guests, they're no longer doing operations, which eases up whatever is going wrong with your iSCSI share. And at that point in time, you can fix it, you can reboot it. I had it down overnight one time, I brought it back up. Once the nodes reconnected to it, I brought my guests back up, and everything recovered gracefully. And sometimes that included trying to fail over to the other one, but that comes a problem because of the buffer issue I was mentioning. But for the most part, like this is just a box. It's going to have updates. It's going to have kernel updates. I'm going to have to reboot it, and that's how we're going to help cover for those situations. I've mentioned some of the future plans we're doing for the storage. We're going to try to. We don't want to move to a SAN environment, because we do want to prove that this can be done. This can be done and done with decent metrics on mostly commodity hardware or something right in that range. And like I said 100 times, it's just an iSCSI. So to move on to the computational servers, these are the nodes for people that, this actually threw me off a little bit. Overt considers anything that is running virtualization software a node, right? So if you are doing a Vert install or something like that, that would be your node. And these servers right now have the two hardware processors. They originally were spec'd out to have no disks. I decided to put disks in them so that I can install RHEL. And the reason I want to do that is because Overt right now is based entirely on Fedora. if one of my servers goes out and I need to call for support, I have been told that I'm out of luck when I'm running Fedora. So I always keep Pixie rel images around or rel image somewhere around so that I can just reboot it into rel and say, yeah, tell me what's wrong and I can do it. So that's basically just mitigation of a risk that we run into.
You should be able to get over rel images by now.
I mean, obviously that's an end goal. Like they definitely do that. But as far as I know, they only just got it onto Fedora 10. Like I think their focus for version 1 is still 10.
Yeah.
So I mean, and then probably 11 after that. At some point in time, they'll harden it and say, okay, we can. You know, it's moving so quick right now. I don't think that they really.
You mean the node or the management? Because
both.
The node you can get on rel.
Nodes can be rel.
Yeah, for over. Well, over nodes can be rel. Yeah.
The way we're doing
not
is with,
published yet.
Well, it'll probably be ready by 10 years. But the thing that we're focusing on is the appliance with this still, because they wanted to do it diskless. And that's mostly just voodoo. Like, it's not proving anything in virtualization to do it diskless. But we're going to do diskless, and we're going to try to come up with some way to keep our stuff up to date.
So you're not going to.
So how are you
going
to do it diskless?
It'll be folder. What's that?
How are you going to do it diskless? Is it going to be like?
Oh, the nodes will pixie boot.
Pixie boot.
Yeah, and then they'll load their appliance up. So the nodes themselves will be like the DOM zero, right?
Yeah.
And then after that's loaded, they will then load up the. They will then contact over. And over and we'll tell them what to do that they're getting.
So Pixie boot over SCSI.
What's that?
Pixie boot over SCSI.
Yeah. It'll either be Pixie over SCSI or NFS. Or it'll be something like a live image where it's loading itself up.
Well, if it pixie boots, and then it attaches to
the nodes are just running storage. An operating system.
Each guest attached to SCSI.
These aren't the guests.
The nodes themselves are stateless.
We're installing 5 on the disk so that we can call for support when we want, but we will be pixie booting Fedora 10.
Right.
So that's these things will be running Fedora 10 all the time unless they fail. I'm just going through all the details on this. Yeah.
Can I ask a few couple of questions before I got asked, like practical questions?
Sure.
So what kind of services are going to be running in this cloud? Is going to be something for Fedora developers to test their applications in?
Yeah, that was actually one of the early slides. It'll be for Fedora developers and things to come up with whatever they want. Any Fedora people can come in and get it. I have not come up with a way to do first come, first serve. We're only talking about 80 guests or so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible that will get, if this gets approved and we get more funding for it, it's possible that it'll get expanded greatly.
What about running like long-term shell servers running small applications?
Probably not. No production level stuff at all. I would expect
you will lose your data.
What's that?
You will lose your data.
Yeah, you will. Yeah,
Michael, make sure that you lose your data often enough that.
Yeah, I'll probably randomly delete all your data every 5 minutes or so. Okay. So assume that.
Immediate pause.
But at the same time, like, yeah, I mean, that sucks, but even with all that, like, it's still going to be quite useful to us. So, okay, anything else?
I was just curious.
Yeah, no, it should be for anybody that can get to it. How we're going to manage that, I don't know yet, but we have no restrictions on what you can do with these guests.
Just nothing long term.
Just nothing long term. And we're talking about the span of about 3 years tops. So that's where we're currently, and which is the lifetime of the hardware. So that's basically what we're targeting right now. And that may change, but right now I'm sticking to that. And
that's the warranty, basically.
Exactly. So we do have the network we have set up. I used to be a network guy, I'm not anymore. It's one of the high end, it was actually designed for high performance computing switch, is what we have in there. We're going to have a dedicated management and storage network.
Where is it going to be located at?
This will be in Chandler, Arizona.
Okay.